Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu after having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, aided by Srila Vyasadeva. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Apparently, Lord Sri Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipable by the Brahmanas. But the Brahmanas present there, headed by Srila Vyasadeva, all knew him to be the personality of Godhead, and therefore they worshipped him. The Lord reciprocated the greetings just to honor the social order that a Kshatriya is obedient to the order of the Brahmanas. Although Lord Sri Krishna was always offered the respects due to the Supreme Lord from all responsible quarters, the Lord never deviated from the customary usages between the four orders of society. The Lord purposefully observed all these social customs so that others would follow him in the future. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sutadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shari Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastichadeshatarine. Translation again. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu after having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadeva. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. So the context of this verse is in the 7th chapter, the 12th verse, Suta Goswami is speaking to Shonaka Rishi. And then he says to Shonaka that now he's going to begin the transcendental narration of the Lord, narration of Lord Sri Krishna and the topics of the birth, activities and deliverance of King Parikshit, the sage among kings, as well as the topics about the renunciation of the sons of Pandu. So this event that we're reading about in this verse, it's building up into something quite extraordinary. And this all is going to be a description of the appearance of Parikshit. Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken at various levels or layers, and one of the main discourses that takes place is the dialogue between Maharaj Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. And understanding the glories of Maharaj Parikshit, his birth, his activities, and his deliverance is a very important factor in understanding and appreciating the Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Srimad Bhagavatam is the dialogue between the perfect student and the perfect master. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his presentation on why the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest of all literatures, he focuses on this one point. And he says, like if you look at the Devi Purana, in that Purana, there is the story of a king and the merchant. And this story is both the king and the merchant both lose all of their wealth. And they become completely grief-stricken, completely devastated. And then a sage Medha speaks to them to try to revive their consciousness. But we will see in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. He was not a king, he was not a merchant. He was the emperor of the entire planet. And when he was cursed to die, without any lamentation, he simply took out his crown, left it, took out his royal regalia, put on a kopin, and he walked straight to the river Ganges. Such a saintly king. We see in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the next few chapters, Maharaj Parikshit will be glorified in a very wonderful way. This particular verse starts off with the statement that Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. The Lord was living in Dwaraka with his queens and in his kingdom. But he had left Dwaraka to come and be with the Pandavas. And he was with Arjuna during the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And after the battle, when all of the Pandavas were grief-stricken and were really lamenting their part in the death of so many millions of soldiers, the Lord was there to pacify them. And prior to this, he also played a significant role in the chastisement of Ashwatthama. But he had to go back. He had to go back to his kingdom. And in this verse, that event is about to take place. Actually, this pastime of the departure of the Lord, it's a very significant event in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is an event which churns the rasa. Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti, is the king of the bhakti shastras. It is a scripture or literature that's full of rasa. Therefore, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, on the third verse, Vyasadev says, Nigama kalpataro kalitam falam shuka mukad amrita drava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamayalam muhur hahor rasika bhuvi bhava bhuta bhavukaha. So in that verse, Srila Vyasadeva is inviting. He says, oh learned, an expert people, please come and relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rasa mayalam, this rasa. Please come and relish this rasa. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, at every opportunity, there is the churning of the rasa. Actually, we get to know Lord Krishna through the experience or the understanding or the hearing of this rasa. The activities of the Lord takes place always Buddhist devotees. And these activities, they are full with rasa. And when one is able to enter and experience that rasa, then our attachment for the Lord develops. So in the Bhagavatam, this event of the Lord departing, it is used to churn the rasa, to show the exchanges between the Lord and his devotees. Maybe not so much in this verse, but we can see, because the Lord was about to depart and that departure gets stopped. I don't want to preempt the next verses, but it's very exciting. So he doesn't leave for Dwaraka. But after this event, in the 10th chapter, there is very detailed description of the Lord's departure for Dwaraka. And there you see all the emotions coming out from so many of the Lord's associates. And that reciprocation, it's so sweet. And in this verse, there is just an inkling when it stated that the Lord invited the sons of Pandu. Normally when someone is departing, there's a lot of emotions involved. But we see in this instance, the Pandavas, it appears, never came to see the Lord depart. Why? Because they were feeling this intense separation. So what did Krishna do? He invited them. He says, come and see me departing. And in this, again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, probably the most intense of all the rasas, the highest rasa, which is the rasa of viraha, separation, takes place when Akrura is taking Krishna away from Vrindavan, where the gopis, we see their mood of separation. I recall very clearly when I was in my beginning years in Krishna consciousness, Bhakti Chaitanya Swami gave a class. And in that class, he narrated this particular pastime of Krishna being taken away by Akrura and the gopis' sentiments at that point. And he also spoke from Gaga Samhita, you know, even heightening those emotions. And it was at that point I was really struck about the depth of Krishna consciousness and the love between the Lord and his devotees. So the gopis were completely grief-stricken when Krishna was about to leave. There's a description in the Krishna book. They tried everything, appealing to providence, appealing to the elders, appealing to the elements to come. They tried everything to stop Krishna from going. And eventually, when they saw no other recourse, what did they do? They blocked his chariot. So this is very nice. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book that this feelings of separation, it is the highest. It is the highest, the topmost platform of Krishna consciousness. And the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see, it highlights this point. We will notice if you read Bhagavatam, you'll see Shukadev Goswami. He does one particular thing. Whenever he's narrating some pastime, when the pastime comes to this point of some separation between the Lord and his devotees, he pauses. Like, for example, which I spoke about previously, like in the narration of the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. In a few verses, bang, 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 he just goes through, you know, the Lord was born, the son of Dasharath, and he explains how he was banished. But then when he comes to the point of Shatrughan's feelings of separation, then he spends many verses explaining that. The same way, when it's the pastime of the separation, the Lord Ramachandra feels from Sita Devi, then he drags it out. He emphasizes that point. And you see, you know, even the first time we meet Prahlad in the Bhagavatam, there is Prahlad with tears coming from his eyes. So Prabhupada highlighted this one point, and there was a very nice pastimes in the early days. The devotees had just started the temple in San Francisco. It was called New Jagannath Puri. And Prabhupada used to give class there. And after class, he would ask for questions. So one day, and I'll read from Prabhupada Lilamrita, Govinda Dasi had a question for Swamiji. He had mentioned briefly that Lord Chaitanya used to cry in separation from Krishna and had once even thrown himself into a river crying. Where is Krishna? She was unsure whether a question would be proper, but she waited for an opportunity to ask it. One evening after the lecture, when Prabhupada asked for questions and there was none, Govinda Dasi thought, this is my chance. But she hesitated. A question wasn't on the subject of his lecture, and besides, she didn't like to ask questions in public. No questions? Srila Prabhupada looked around. Govinda Dasi thought Swamiji seemed disappointed that there were no questions. He had said several times that they should ask questions and clear up their doubts. Again he asked, have you got any questions? Govinda Dasi, could you tell about Lord Chaitanya asking? Prabhupada, Govinda Dasi, asking where is Krishna? Prabhupada, Govinda Dasi, could you tell about Lord Chaitanya asking where is Krishna and falling in the water? Or would that not be? Prabhupada smiled. Yes, yes, very nice. Your question is very nice. Oh, I am very glad. Lord Chaitanya, he was the greatest symbol of Krishna Bhakti, a devotee of Krishna. So just see from his life, he never said that I have seen Krishna. Never. Never said I have seen Krishna. He was mad after Krishna. That is the process of Chaitanya philosophy. It is called viraha. Viraha means separation. Separation. Krishna, you are so good. You are so merciful. You are so nice. But I am so rascal, I am full of sin that I cannot see you. I have no qualification to see you. So in this way, if one feels the separation of Krishna, Krishna, I want to see you, but I am so disqualified that I cannot see you, these feelings of separation will make you enriched in Krishna consciousness. Feelings of separation, not that Krishna, I have seen you, finished. All right, I have understood. You, finished. All my business finished. No. Perpetually think of yourself that I am unfit to see Krishna. That will enrich you in your Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada goes on to talk about Radharani's feelings of separation, and then the feelings of separation of the Goswamis, and now we have the followers of the Goswamis. And then Prabhupada says, this is a very nice question. So, in the Bhagavatam, if we look close enough, we will see how this particular mood is being churned constantly. So Prabhupada starts with the purport by saying, apparently Lord Sri Krishna was a Kshatriya and was not worshipable by the Brahmanas. Lord Krishna, he appeared as the son of Vasudev, who was a Kshatriya, and then also as the foster son of Nanda Maharaj. So he was a Vaishya and a Kshatriya externally. So the etiquette is just like the guru or the spiritual master never offers worship to the disciple. In the same way, the Brahmanas, they are the spiritual masters of the entire society. So the Brahmanas, they never offer worship to any of the other Vanars, the Kshatriyas or the Vaishyas or the Shudras. But here we see the chief of all the Brahmanas, Vedavyas. He is offering Krishna worship. So externally, that may seem, for one who does not understand the position of Lord Krishna, to be against the etiquette. But the Lord's associates and his great devotees and the Vaishnava Brahmanas, they understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, they offered him worship. And that can be contrasted to the other Brahmanas, or other people who didn't know. Like in Krishna book, we see the story of the Brahmanas who were about to offer a sacrifice. So the coward boys were hungry, and they came to Krishna. And Krishna says, if you go nearby, you'll see these Brahmanas, they are about to start a sacrifice. You go and ask them for some food. So the coward boys went and they said, Krishna and Balaram are here and they are hungry. So we want to beg for some food for them. But these Brahmanas, what did they do? They simply dismissed. They were so foolish, they couldn't realize that in the fire sacrifice, it is said the fire is the mouth of the Lord. And the ghee that you put, it said you put in the ghee in the mouth of the Lord. They couldn't see that they were feeding the Supreme Personality of the Lord. But they dismissed. Because they couldn't see, they were thinking that Krishna and Balaram and the coward boys, they're just Vaishyas. We are Brahmanas. We are offering sacrifice. Yet, the wives of the Brahmanas, immediately, they knew who Krishna and Balaram were. And they immediately offered them very nice foodstuffs. Took care of them very nicely. In the Rajasuya sacrifice that Maharaj Yudhisthira performed, it is said before the sacrifice is performed, there is a ceremony called the Agra Puja. The Agra Puja means one has to find the topmost personality in the assembly. And one has to offer worship to that personality. So there was some discussion about who the topmost personality in the assembly was. And some people were offering different suggestions. And then Sahadev, one of the Pandavas, he stood up and presenting very nice evidence, he proposed that Krishna be the person that is offered the Agra Puja. And then Shishupal, who was in the assembly, he became very angry. He said, Krishna? And he said, Sahadev, he's just a young boy. What does he know? We should listen to the big sages here. And Krishna, he's just a Kshatriya. He's not even a very high-class person. So he started to blaspheme Krishna in so many ways. But his head was chopped off. So the devotees, they understand, and Prabhupada uses the word apparently, that Krishna is above Vana and Ashram. Vana and Ashram is there for people who are still situated within the three modes of material nature. Those that are above the three modes of material nature, then they don't have to subscribe to the Varnashram system. And Krishna explains this principle very clearly in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. In the 18th verse, he says, "A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties. Nor has he any reason not to perform such work. Nor has he any need to depend on other living beings." So Krishna is explaining in this verse that a person who is completely self-realized, a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature, they have no prescribed duties to discharge. And they have no such work to perform. And neither do they have to depend on any living entity. So what to speak of someone on that platform? You're speaking about someone on that platform. What to speak about the Lord? Even in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we see this principle being emphasized. Advaita Acharya, in his home in Shantipur, he would conduct a Shraddh ceremony. And the Shraddh ceremony is where one offers foodstuffs to Lord Vishnu, and then takes the same foodstuff and offers it to the ancestors. But part of the ceremony is that one also has to first offer it, after offering to the Lord, to the highest person in the assembly. And Advaita Acharya, he took the offering and first he went and offered it to Haridas Thakur. And all of the Brahmanas, they were just looking. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So all of the Brahmanas, they were just looking at Advaita Acharya, thinking, he's come from a Malecha background. He's not even a Brahmana. How can he be offered the first, the foodstuffs first? But Advaita Acharya was making the point that Haridas Thakur, because of his elevated stage, of by chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna, he was above the modes of material nature. And thus he was above the Brahmanas. It is explained that the Brahmanas, they are situated in Sattvagun. But the Vaishnavas, they are situated in Sudasattva, transcendental goodness. So Krishna goes on to explain that there is no duty or no prescribed duties for one who is beyond the modes of material nature. And then Krishna then quotes this very famous verse, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tat Tat Evataro Jana Sayat Pramanam Kurate Lokas Tat Anuvartate. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow, and whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Therefore, it is explained in this verse that the Lord, although he was receiving the worship by the Brahmanas, he did not neglect to reciprocate with them according to their status. According to their status. He doesn't elaborate on it in this verse, but one can understand that Lord Krishna simply didn't accept the worship. He also acted like a Kshatriya, and he reciprocated how a Kshatriya would reciprocate with the Brahmanas. And Lord Krishna, in his pastimes, he always acted according to this principle by setting the correct example. In the Krishna book, in the 10th canto also, there's a description of the Lord in Dwaraka. He would rise during the Brahma Muhurta hour, just as the crow was crowing, rooster was crowing. And then he would take his bath, and then he would meditate. And who would he meditate on? Himself. Prabhupada said he meditated on himself. And then Prabhupada says, we shouldn't think when we meditate, we should meditate on ourselves. This is only for Krishna. And then he would perform his duties. And after his meditation, he would rise. And one of the first things he would do is he would give charity to the brahmanas. He's explained in Krishna's book, he would give 13,000 cows every day. Every day, 13,000 cows in charity to the brahmanas. So the Lord, he taught by example. There's achar and prachar. Prachar means speaking. And achar means acting, an example. Prabhupada always said, example is more important than precept. And Prabhupada, acharya, that's where the word acharya comes from. Acharya means one who teaches by example. And the acharyas, they always act according to the regulative principles. Although they are situated in the highest stage of spiritual perfection, still they act according to the rules and regulations. And in Prabhupada's pastimes, we see so many examples. One example was in Kumbh Mela. It was very, very cold in Kumbh Mela. And Srila Prabhupada, because of his translation work, he was not getting up the normal times. But he was noticing that the devotees, Mangal Arati time, what they were doing? They were sleeping. And they were not taking bath because it was too cold to take bath. So one morning, the devotee saw Srila Prabhupada. He got up. He went, and under the tap with the cold water, he took a bath. And it is said from that moment on, the devotees would never sleep. They would get up in the morning, they would take their cold shower, and follow Mangal Arati. There's one other example. Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, in his room, with his sister and his disciple. And Prabhupada's sister Pishima was very elderly. So Prabhupada wanted his servant to go get him something. And then when the servant was about to get up, he said, no, you stay here. You call for somebody else. And then after the incident, the disciple wanted to know why Prabhupada acted in that way. And then Prabhupada said that it is stated in the Shastra that one should never be alone in a room with a woman, even if she is one's mother or sister. So Prabhupada taught by personal example the principles. And the Lord Krishna, he followed the same principles, always teaching by example. There's only one time he didn't quite teach by example, and that's in his Vrindavan Leela. He didn't teach by example. But even then, Lord Krishna, he didn't act according against religious principles. There's one story or one pastime where one Indian gentleman was talking to Srila Prabhupada. And he was saying, Swamiji, Krishna in Vrindavan Leela, he didn't set a very good example. In the middle of the night, he would go out with other men's wives. So therefore, he didn't set a very good example. And Krishna should not have acted like an adulterer. So this is the point he was trying to make. So Prabhupada looked at the man and he said, who is Krishna? The man said, Krishna is Bhagavan. And then he asked, what does Bhagavan mean? He says, Bhagavan means one who possesses everything. So Prabhupada says, who is this lady sitting next to you? The man said, she's my wife. Then Prabhupada said, who does she belong to? And the man, he felt he's being going into a trap here. He said, she belongs to Bhagavan. Then Prabhupada pointed at him and said, so who's the adulterer? So, you know, in one sense, but still, overall, Krishna, he always performs. It's just in Vrindavan, he's in a different mood. He's in a completely different mood, and he works against religious principles in many ways. Then this verse concludes by the translation stating, the Lord also reciprocated greetings. In the word for word, Prabhupada uses the word, the Lord also reciprocated equally. And this is the quality of Lord Krishna. He always reciprocates. And he reciprocates equally. According to the sentiment of the devotee, according to one sentiment, then Krishna, he reciprocates. And Prabhupada writes, his purport, that Krishna is never neglectful. He's never neglectful. Actually, there's only one state, in only one circumstance, Krishna is neglectful. And he says so. He says sometimes he does not reciprocate. And the only time he does not reciprocate is when? Yes. When he wants to intensify or increase the love of his devotees. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you see that. That happening a few times. He'll appear and suddenly he'll disappear. He'll come in front of Narad. He'll give his darshan, and just when the feelings are heightened, he'll disappear. He'll come in front of Dhruva Maharaj, and just when the devotee is trying to experience, he will disappear. Because he wants to bring the devotee to the stage of intense separation. And that actually is reciprocation also, but it's reciprocation of a different nature. So the nature of Krishna is, he is unlike any others who are neglectful. He is always reciprocating according to one's devotion. Contrary to one's bhakti. So there are almost time now. I just wanted to leave some time for some questions or comments. We can say other things, but if there's any questions or comments, yes, Prabhu.